Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome in. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network and KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. I'm Dustin Hockensmith, Greg Pickle here with you for about an hour or so talking Penn State football, a recruiting hot streak. We are coming to you from the Labatt Blue studio as always. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. The commitments just kept on coming again last week. I believe the total was four, bringing, I think it's 12 in a span of just over 2 weeks, I think is the final countdown. So we're going to get down to the latest couple commits. We are also going to look at just the hot streak as a whole and where it puts Penn State's class, what's left to do, just putting all this into perspective. And then I think an important topic is to look at the prospects in the class, considering that I don't think it's been criticized because it's been all good news for a couple weeks, but the caliber of prospects on the national recruiting front by the services has been a little lower than it has been certainly in the 2018 and 19 cycles. So I want to look at the guys in this class who we think might be undervalued by the recruiting services, because clearly Penn State thinks that that's why a bunch of offers went out and why they got some commitments from players that frankly some of us have never heard of. So we'll get into all that, putting really just Penn State's 2020 recruiting class into perspective, assuming there's going to be a little bit of a lull or a pause going into training camp. So the first and foremost here, Bryce Mostella is the newest commit. That happened on Friday. He's commitment number 20 in the class. He is a 6'6", 230-pound defensive end. He's rated as a three-star from the state of Michigan, which is another topic to discuss. But really nice-looking athlete. But, Greg, I think that what stole the show was just how strange that commitment video was. Strange in an intentional way, unlike what I would call the next strangest video we've seen from Quinn Nordine.
Right.
Was strange in an unintentional way.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I thought that Mostella was a guy that Penn State had his eye on for quite some time, and I think it just came down to not a matter if he would pick the Lions, but when. And there were a lot of other programs out there. Ohio State and Michigan both offered. I think that's always a good indicator of, some folks will say, well, he's a three-star, why is Penn State chasing three stars? Well, kind of like we talked about with him in Vanover, if you got offers from Alabama and Georgia, but you're a three-star, maybe the recruiting services are missing something, or maybe not. I don't know. But it's always good to take a peek at who else wanted these kids. In his interview with 247 Sports, he just raved about, what Penn State can offer him, what Penn State can do for him. And it's clear that he's a guy that is going to be willing to get out there and, recruit guys on Penn State's behalf and really try and, go out and build this class around him. So another defensive lineman in the boat too. I think they have to be just about done there at this point, not because they're running out of numbers, not only because they're running out of numbers, but also because they already, they have seven guys at that position now.
Here's what I would say just with Mostella's commitment and with really 2019 and 20 as a whole, and that includes Amin Vanover, who I think just – for whatever it's worth, is a better looking prospect in my eyes than Bryce Mostella is. But if you are looking at defensive ends and you're getting long and athletic, guys who have an idea of what they're doing, which I would put Mostella in that category. I don't think he's polished to the max by any means at all. I think there looks to be some technique stuff and that kind of thing to work on. But if you're 6'6", 230, and Penn State's strength staff has a history of turning a guy like this into 6'6", 260, probably in not that long a time period, then you're doing the right thing. And I think that's what you have to keep into perspective. There's all kinds of reasons why guys are three stars other than their ceiling isn't high. So I don't really know. I guess with Mostella, he's a little bit, he's a little on the thin side. He I'm sure needs to improve and that kind of thing. But in terms of his ceiling, I think that athleticism and that frame are all you really need to know. And to put that into Sean Spencer's hands, just like, you know, a lot of the other guys we've discussed at defensive tackle, Keziah Izzard, Joseph Darkwa in the previous class, Smith Vilbert is a pretty good comparison because frame wise, that's about what you're getting from him too. You're getting what you need at defensive end. I don't think Mustella is a guy that you're going to see play very early in his career, but I think maybe 2 years into it, you'll start to see him realize some of that potential.
Yeah, there's no question. And, you know, I do agree with, you know, the idea that you want to get, I think, a couple true defensive tackles. You don't want to endlessly just rely on guys getting bigger and stronger and moving inside, and it takes 2 or 3 years to do it because you're going to have attrition, you're going to have injuries, you're going to have guys not pan out. So I think Penn State's done a nice job in this class of getting all three, which is guys that are definitely defensive ends, guys that are definitely defensive tackles, and then guys who could maybe slide inside or maybe not, depending on how they grow. So we've seen that work with Ryan Buchholz. We've seen that, you know, start to work with Nick Tarbert to an extent. We'll see more of that this year. So it's a plan for them. It's worked. It's been consistent, and it's something that Sean Spencer likes to look for. So I think that's really going to be, you know, a key thing to watch over the next couple of years here. It's just how quickly some of these guys can develop.
So a little bit later, we'll talk about the defensive line and the number of commitments on that front in the class so far, which is at 20 commitments so far. How about Penn State and the state of Michigan? I know this came up when Julian Fleming picked Ohio State, that you can complain about losing guys in your own backyard, and that is going to be a fair complaint all day, every day, a guy like Julian Fleming. But Penn State has also been really, really good in the state of Michigan. What is your thought and, you know, about why Penn State's been so good in the state of Michigan?
You know, I think that they have a lot of good relationships there. I think Tim Banks is a guy who recruits that state well. I think that they just have been able to really connect with a lot of those kids. Obviously, the success Michigan kids have had, Allen Robinson obviously is the one that jumps immediately to mind, but there's been some others too.
KJ Hamler.
Yep. Originally from Michigan, went down to IMG, then came to Penn State. So they've had a nice little run of success with guys from that state. That always helps. I think it also helps that when you look at the schools that they typically get kids from, it's a lot of the same ones that keep popping up or ones that are nearby to each other. I just think that, you know, the coaching staff, and there's not really one Midwest guy. Ricky Ronnie recruits out there. Tim Banks does. They kind of all have a hand in playing, you know, playing a role with the Michigan kids, and they've developed great relationships. They're able to show off campus, you know, and that's why, you know, Enzo Jennings basically was like, you know, there's some guys that I knew there from the state of Michigan, and that helped push me in that direction.
So the pipeline perpetuates itself, in other words. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're talking about Penn State's recruiting hot streak, bringing the class up to 20 commitments. We've got one from Bryce Mustella, one from Tyler Warren. The segment brought to you by GoPSURV.com. Recruiting, and when you're breaking it down, is all about looking ahead to the future. Well, the future is coming soon for Penn State's 2019 football season as well, and there's just no better way to do it than through GoPSURV.com. Super close to the stadium, you can tailgate in an RV from basically Friday through Sunday. You get a ride back and forth to Beaver Stadium. Just I would say it's an alternative way to stay in State College for a football weekend, but I don't think it should be the alternative. I think it should be just the way that you do it. I think tailgating is such an important part of what you do at Penn State games anyway, arguably as important as the football game itself. So why not do it for an entire weekend rather than a couple hours before the game? That's what GoPSURV.com brings to the table. Check them out at GoPSURV.com to see what they have to offer for the 2019 season. The other commitment from the week, Greg, maybe one of the more interesting ones of the whole cycle so far. Tyler Warren, who is a three-star, let's call him an athlete, from Virginia, plays quarterback. He's a southpaw quarterback at his school. 6'5 and 223 pounds. So you see the frame and size, and I think they like the athleticism. But you got to say, as a quarterback, then recruiting him as a tight end is not a conventional transition. You've seen similar transitions unfold in the pros in particular, and you know, athleticism is athleticism. But that's, you know, tight end with all those responsibilities and all those duties, maybe being a quarterback helps understand that. But It's not a common transition, but Penn State likes what he brings to the table with that frame.
Yeah, no doubt. And obviously, they've thought long and hard about this. This wasn't a decision where they just all of a sudden said, hey, let's go offer a quarterback and make him a tight end, especially with Theo Johnson still on the board, especially with Cole Taylor still on the board. So they clearly thought long and hard about this kid's potential. And I think that you have to trust them on a take like this. You know, obviously, they know space is limited. The one question that immediately came up is, well, can Penn State count guys back to the last class? Can they take more than 25 players in this cycle? I mean, I think they probably can. It seems like they're recruiting that way. So if you just you let the tea leaves sort of guide you there, I think that, you know, they're telling you that Penn State's going to probably take, you know, more than 25 in this class. How exactly that works with numbers, I'm not sure. I'm not a compliance, you know, analyst, so I don't exactly have all that worked out yet. We're going to try and get answers on that. But, you know, when you take a guy like this at this point in the cycle, when you're getting all these commitments and you know there's a lot of guys still out there on the board, you either A, don't feel good about some of the guys that are on the board, and that could be the case here, or B, you know you're going to take multiple more guys, either many more guys either way, so you take what you can get when you can get it with Warren. I think that obviously, like I said, they've really pondered this move, and it's going to work, so I think you have to trust them on a take like this.
I think that's fair to say, too, and I think they deserve a certain amount of trust. I think just when you talk about trust from the fan base, you know, again, you're talking about, I don't know, what, four or five guys who fall under this umbrella of you just got to trust them on this one. And we'll see. I think they've shown that they can develop guys. I know when James Franklin came aboard, I just wasn't sure about he and his staff and their ability to develop talent, not just recruit it. But I think they've been just as good developing talent as recruiting it. And I think what it boils down to with Warren and a number of other players in this class is that you're looking for the physical indications, the physical tools, and your belief in your assistant coaches and you as James Franklin to bring these guys along. And this case with Tyler Warren, teach him a completely new position. So I think that's the challenge that lies ahead, but there's opportunities in that too.
Right.
And if you're looking for the right stuff and you know how to develop it, I don't think there's a big problem with taking guys like this. And, you know, 22 guys were committed in the 2019 class. There's been, I know when Penn State was going through the hardships of the sanctions and the scholarship reductions in the past, you could backlog January enrollees into the previous class. I haven't heard that any kind of rule has changed on that front.
Right.
It's just a matter of, you know, negotiating that with your total of 85. But right. I think we've seen that total of 85 is pretty flexible and generous right now. So I think there is an opportunity to go above 25 in this class.
Yeah. I mean, the way I look at it is, you know, Penn State obviously has a good grasp on these things. And I think you're trying to play a little bit of a guessing game, right? Because you had, what, 14 guys enter the portal this past offseason. That number could be 14 again next year. It could be 4. It could be 0. You don't know. And you're kind of, I think, using the information that you have to make educated guesses about how many guys are going to leave, plus how many guys are going to graduate, plus how many guys could leave early for the NFL draft. And you put all those three things together and say, okay, now we can start to figure out what it is we want to do numbers-wise moving forward and how much space we have. Again, like we just said, it seems like they're recruiting with at least 25 in mind, if not more.
So that puts into perspective what Andy Frank, the director of player personnel, has to deal with on a daily basis. Not an easy thing. All right, we're going to move on here. We're going to talk about the two previous commitments in the week, Joseph Johnson and Parker Washington. Stick around.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.